Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life.
Last week was First Things First. Part one was First Things First, and we talked about, you know, just real quickly, I'll review it. You know, I asked a couple of questions. What's first in your life? What's whenever you prioritize your life? What do you put up there on the top? And, you know, whether it's work, whether it's relationships, you know, whether it's things, home, you know, the car, the family, your music, your interest, your hobby, what is it up there that's first? I mean, what's first in your life? What's on the top of your list? And then, you know, of course, I said, well, of course, as Christians, we're all going to say, well, of course, God's on the top of my list. You know, who as a Christian wouldn't say that? But then, you know, in Matthew 15:8, and they were quoting Isaiah, said that, talking about hypocrites, you know, he's saying, you hypocrites, Jesus was talking there, he's saying, you hypocrites, and then he quotes Isaiah, said, he was right whenever he prophesied about you. And at Matthew 15:8, it says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And that was a prophecy from Isaiah. Man, I'm going to tell you what, if that's not prophetic today, now it was prophetic and it was answering, you know, prophecy in that time, in Jesus' time, but man, today, I mean, people who say, I'm a Christian, with their mouths, they honor him with their mouths, but their actions say other words. Are you not seeing that? I mean, over and over and over again, what is it, the statistic, 80% of Americans check the Christian box, but my, look what we vote, look how we, you know, so, but just, you honor me with your mouths, you know, but your hearts are far from me. And so then I asked, why is it important to put God first? And so we took the scripture out of Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 20. Why Jesus first? Well, he's the very image of God. You know, he was here before everything. He's supreme over all creation. Everything was created through him. And this was the one that is just kind of like the staple to me, is he holds everything together. He holds everything together. He is the head of the church, which is the body, verse 18. He is the beginning. So he is first in everything. And, you know, we sang the little song, Yes, Jesus Loves Me, for the Bible tells me so. And 2 Timothy says that all scripture is breathed from God, written by the hand of man. But it comes from God. It's inspired of God, and it's used, you know, to correct us, to show us how we're doing right, not just to chastise us, but show, hey, good job. But to teach us. God uses it to teach us and prepare his people to do all good works. And so if the Bible tells me so, that's good enough for me. Why put him first? Well, just quite frankly, because the Bible says so. Romans 11:36 says, for everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. So why God first? Well, because everything was intended to glorify God. Everything. Everyone and everything was intended to glorify God. He holds it all together. He is the first. He's the supreme over all. For the Bible just tells me so. So tonight, part two of God First, title is What Separates Us from God. Part one was First Things First, and part two is What Separates Us from God. If we're going to make Jesus first in our lives, if we're going to put God on the top of our list, and he's the number one in all of our priorities, if we're going to put him up there, then we've got to understand what is it that separates us from him? Because if we're not separated from him, then that means he's on the top of our list, right? Yep. Yeah? Okay, so if I'm going to put him on the top of my list, and I'm going to make him number one in my life, then I've got to understand, okay, well, what is it that keeps me from putting him up there? What is it that separates me from God? If something, and I always, you know, you tell people if you allow someone to keep you from church, then they're between you and God. You ever heard that said? Well, I'm going to say this. If you allow things to get above God on the list, well, then that's come between you and God. No matter what it is, whether it's a relationship, if you allow something else in life other than God to be on the top of your list and be number one in your life, then that thing has actually come between you and God, because God's up there regardless of what you do or say. So if I'm here and I start putting things on the top of my list in place of God, then that thing has come between me and God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 says, through him, through Jesus, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Before we were reconciled to God, though, here's the thing, is we were separated from him. We were separate. And so my question today is, what is it that separates us from God? I'm going to stay in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 21. So remember verse 20 says that he reconciled everything to him, right? Including us. All right, so look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Now, I don't know about you, but I've got those Bible highlighters in my Bible case, and I pull them out, and I highlight my Bible like crazy. And that's why I like the Bible, the physical Bible, instead of my phone. Now, I love my phone because I've got the YouVersion on it, and man, I'm looking for something, or Google, you know, I can look up something, and maybe I've forgotten where it was, and it's good to have. But I'm telling you, whenever I break this open, and I look to where, oh, there's something that I highlighted, and well, why did I highlight that, you know, and it brings back to memory what the sermon, and then I start thinking, reflecting on things that the pastor said or whoever the speaker was that they've said, so I highlight it. So I highly advise you to highlight, get a Bible highlighter. Don't get one of those that bleeds through because it'll mess up your whole Bible. But get a Bible highlighter and highlight things. I write footnotes. I mean, I'll write it. Man, I'll find a reference. Well, that's referenced over here too. And I'll write those scripture. And I can go from one scripture to the next scripture to the next scripture, all referring. I mean, you can make it simpler and just buy yourself a reference Bible and it's got all that done for you. But I kind of like to do it because it keeps it in my mind. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. Talking about being reconciled, right? It said, this includes you who were once far away. Now, if you were once far away, that means you were separated from God, right? Okay? You were once far away. You were his enemies. Remember the question. What separates us from God? You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Now, the devil made me do it. That old devil, old Slewfoot, he made me do it. Oh, the devil's just got his grip on me and he's in control. I mean, the devil's just wreaking havoc in my life. The devil made me. The devil made me. The devil, he's after my finances. The devil's after my husband. The devil's after my wife. The devil's after my job. The devil wants you divorced. The devil wants you broke. But he has no need for money. He can't spend it. And I'm going to tell you this. Jesus came and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from him. Said he ridiculed him publicly. He stripped him from any power. The only power that he has over you is what you allow him to have. And it comes in the form of deceit. The devil is a liar, and he is the father of, he's the father of lies. I say this all the time, you know, someone will say something, they'll be telling a little story. I'm like, oh, now, Satan is a liar. You know, the devil's the father of lies. Now, who's your daddy? You know, you tell me the truth or you're not telling the truth? Okay. He's the father of lies. Who's your daddy? So he's just a liar. That's all he is. He's the accuser of the brethren, the Bible says. So the devil didn't make me do anything. But I'm separated from God by my own evil thoughts and my actions. Whatever I do. Now, I was reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. It's what it says. So am I no longer far away from him and separated? Well, that just depends. Through your thoughts and through your actions, are you putting distance between you and God? What else is there in life other than thoughts and actions? I mean, seriously, you're either thinking about it or you're doing it. Come on. When I was telling the kids this, you know, the teenagers in youth, I said, you're either thinking about, when you wake up in the morning, you're either thinking about taking a shower or you're taking a shower. You're either thinking about putting on some deodorant or you're putting on some deodorant. And I hope you're putting on some deodorant, you know. You're either thinking about it or doing it. Sleeping. Man, I do a whole lot of thinking about sleeping. Now, my wife, she just sleeps. Man, I'll tell you what, she lays her head down and she's over just sleeping away, and I'm just over laying, tossing, turning, just thinking about sleeping. You know, you're either thinking about it or you're doing it. And there's really no in between. So whenever you're separated from God by your own evil thoughts and desires, you can't blame anybody for what's going on in your life. Now, I grant it, there are issues and there are circumstances and situations where someone victimizes someone else. I got that. I get that. That's true. I understand that. But I'm talking about those things. I had an individual. I mean, it just, there was a young lady. She came in where I work, and she had been seen by a physician, been in the ER, and she had been discharged, and she was wanting to leave, or she was leaving, and she comes over to the desk where I'm at, and she starts saying, "Well, I really wanted to get some help. I didn't want to leave." And I said, "Well, what's going on?" And, "Well, I'm just depressed." And I'm like, "Well, did you tell them that?" Yeah, they, and she was acting real joyful with it. I'm like, "Well, did you tell them that?" I said, "Yeah." "Well, what did they say?" "Well, they said I was okay and I'm good to be discharged and go home." And she's, "But I just don't think that I am. I just need some help." And so I'm sitting here thinking this. I'm in a hospital that claims that is a faith-based hospital. There are crosses all over it. You walk up and down the hallways and there's scripture everywhere. And so here's what I do. I just began to minister. And I said, "Well, how about this? Maybe the doctor didn't tell you what you wanted to hear, but how about this? Did you know that the Bible says," and I just began to minister to her. And I start telling her, "Well, what is it that's making you feel this way?" And she, "Well, my family." And that right there, I knew from that point forward, this is what's going on. And she's struggling with her family, and she's hearing things in her family life, and things aren't going well in her family life, and so it makes her feel bad. And so she just pours out to me, and I said, "Well, listen, here's the thing." I start giving her scripture. "You know, you got to take your thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Did you know that you can control your thoughts?" "Yeah, I know, but." And I'm like, "Whoa, no, you can't say but. Because when you say but, that means you really don't know, and you're about to say you're going to make this excuse or you're going to choose this." Because life's full of choices. It's just choices. I mean, it's just choices. You know, you choose every day what you're going to do. You choose what you're going to wear. You choose whether or not to take a shower. You know, you choose what clothes you're going to wear. You choose. Every day I have to choose to get up and go to work because the alarm goes off and I go, "Oh, not again. 4:30 in the morning, it's just too early. I mean, the sun's somewhere hiding from me." And, you know, I mean, like, "No way, God, this can't be real. I got to do this again." And I'm like, "I kind of enjoy this air conditioning I'm sleeping in. And I'm not growling, you know, because I'm hungry and hadn't eaten in 3 or 4 days. I kind of enjoy the food I eat, and my bed's kind of soft. And I'm enjoying that soft bed. And I mean, so you know what? Electric company wants their money, and I got to pay the water bill, and you got to buy. So I choose, my wife and kids, if I don't feed them, they're just going to say, 'See you later.' And I go somewhere else and find some food somewhere." You know, I mean, that's just, you choose to do the things that you do, good, bad, or indifferent. Now, again, I'm not talking about those things that just happen in life. Things that, guys, we live in a fallen world. We live in a fallen world. Well, why did this tragedy happen? We live in a fallen world. We just live in a fallen world. Well, if God's in control, God's really not in control. He's given control to man, and man gave it over to Satan, and Satan is ruining it. But Jesus came and took it back and gave it back to man. And we just have to, but you know, here's the thing, is if our thoughts aren't right, then we're going to make decisions and we're going to do things that are going to lead us in a direction we don't want to go, and it's going to separate us from God. And the thing is this, what about that scripture, you know, that says, "Well, nothing can separate me from the love of God"? How many have heard that? You've heard it. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, right? Not depth, not life, not death, not anything. Nothing can separate. What about that scripture? Well, here's the thing. That's true. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. But you can sure enough separate yourself from the presence of God. God will always love you. You can go to hell and God's going to still love you and wish you never did. But you can always separate yourself from the presence of God. Once we were far away from him because of our own evil desires and our own evil thoughts and actions. But we got saved, thanks be to God. He reconciled us, verse 21 said, through Jesus Christ, everything was reconciled back to God. But we can still live separate from the blessings that he has because of our own thoughts and our own desires. Now, people, we're all people. I'm no different than any of you. And so just today, just go back in your mind and think, what was it today in everyday life today? Just reflect just for a moment. What was it today in everyday life that you struggled with in your thought life today? Today. Whether it's something that you struggle with all the time, whether it was something you saw on TV, whether it was you struggling with to eat that or don't eat that, you know, to go there or don't go there, to say that to that person or not to say that to that person. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these are everyday things. From the moment you wake up until the moment you go to bed, you're thinking about or you're doing. And so you've got to make a choice. Am I going to say that to this person or am I not going to? Am I going to laugh with this person at that crude, ugly, horrible comment, joke, whatever it is that they just said, or am I not going to laugh with? Because if I laugh with that, then that separates me. It puts me further and further away from God because I'm over here with them. See, we were once far away, separated by our own evil desires. Here's something I want you to understand this. Is look at the building. Everybody, look around. You see everything here. Did you just come up here one day and it was here? I mean, you drove away one day and there's nothing here, and then you drove back up one day and you go, whoo, how did that get there? It happens in the movies, but it didn't happen here. This building started in someone's mind. So what happens in time starts in your mind. Why are our thoughts, but the Bible's full of scripture about your thoughts, about thinking, about the way that you think. The Bible's full of it. We got the gym, and then there was the foyer out there and all of that. Here's that part I know about a little bit, so let me just say this. Isn't it nice not to have to go down there to use the bathroom? Isn't that nice? Isn't it nice to have a great big kitchen out here that, I mean, accommodates everything, right? Well, guess what? It started in somebody's mind, just, we need a bathroom and we need a kitchen. It was just a thought in the mind. We've got this right here, but man, we still having to go down. And it probably started with a bunch of ladies going, I'm tired of walking down there in the rain to use the bathroom and sliding on the rocks and there's no steps and you men better. And so, okay, well, let's think about that. It's a thought. And then one day, I'm talking to the pastor. I guess we were in Oklahoma. I don't even remember where it was. And I was saying, well, you know, I've got software on my computer that will design a kitchen and bathroom and everything for you. I designed my house with it. He says, need to bring that up here. So I brought it up here. I sit down with my little laptop. We were in the kitchen, me and Ashley, Michelle, and Leo all sitting there. And so the ideas start coming out. Now, here's the thing, is every idea that was thrown out, we didn't take it. Not every idea was taken. Not every idea was like, yeah, I want that one. Oh, yeah, let's hang on to everything. And our minds are just flooded and inundated with thoughts and to where we're really no use because there's so much going on in there. It was like, no, we're going to throw that one over here. No, we're not going to take that one. Well, put a pin in that one right there. And finally, Ashley told Michelle, said, what do you want in the nursery? What do you want in the kitchen? He says, it really doesn't matter to me a lot. You're the one's going to spend more time in there. The bathroom's easy. Toilets and sinks. That one's an easy one. So, Michelle, one idea at a time. Bouncing it off of everyone there. We're like, yeah, no, yeah, well, okay, is that? And, I mean, one click after another, after another, after another. That's what we want. Printed it off. Here you go. He handed it to whomever he handed it to. And the next time I come up here, there's a bathroom and a kitchen and a nursery and all that storage. And see, it started right here. It started in someone's mind. Everything you do, I want a car. Where does that come from? In the mind. Now, desires, obviously we desire to have things. But it starts in the mind. Here's the thing I want you to think about, is whenever your thoughts aren't lining up with God, you've got to take them captive. The Bible says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So if it's a hateful thought, you're supposed to take that thing captive. Control it. Don't let it control you. The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, think upon these things. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and just, things that are admirable and lovely and excellent, worthy of praise. And if you need it in the King James, think about things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report. If there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, think upon those things. Full of Scripture. How do we keep ourselves in a place where God is number one in our lives? You've got to know His Word. You have to know His Word. That's what He uses to teach us. You got to know His Word. I'm not plugging for The Hobbit here, but there was a movie called The Hobbit. And how many of you have ever heard this? You can't keep the birds from flying over your head. How's the rest of it go? Yeah, I didn't hear y'all. You can keep them from building a nest in your hair. I really can. I got that one down. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head. Have you ever been walking around outside and all of a sudden something, you feel something go, what in the world was, and there's birds flying over you, just kind of dive bombing you. You can't keep them from flying over your head. They're going to do it. It's what birds do. They fly over your head. But you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Go ahead. Now, this is, can you guys make that out? This is in the movie The Hobbit, and I'm not plugging for The Hobbit. You know, it is C.S. Lewis. He is a Christian writer, but anyway. This guy, I thought of whenever I thought about that analogy, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. So Mr. Radagast the Brown is his name. He's a wizard. I'm not promoting wizards. It's just, come on, bear with me. It's just a tool to teach, okay? And the reason I use it is because, I don't know if you can see it or not, there's a bird up there. Do you see the bird? He's got a nest in his hair. So now in the movie, here's what happens, is he's the creature guy. He loves the woods and all that. And so he's out whistling and he's taking care of this little hedgehog and all these things. And he starts, oh no, things aren't looking very good. And he gets all excited because some of the animals, there's something evil in the forest. And so he starts whistling and these birds come flying up and he pulls his hat off and there's a nest. And the bird's laying in the nest and he puts his hat back on. Can you tell where the nest is there? On the right side of his face, you see all that? What is that? What is that? That's bird stuff. And here's the thing. Whenever something comes and controls your mind that's not of God, and you allow it to nest up in your mind, you get all that other junk that comes with it. All that other stuff that comes with it. And it's recognizable. I was out mowing and I come up by my propane tank. And you got the lid that closes over the valve and all of that. And I see something sticking out and I raise it up. And they're about that big around, like that. And underneath the whole thing, when I raise it up, there's a huge bird's nest in there. And there are eggs and there are all of that stuff that comes with it. Of course, I didn't want to throw it out because the eggs were there, so I let the eggs hatch, and then I went back to throw it all out, and there were more eggs. And, well, I let those batch hatch too, and then I pulled that thing out of there. But here's the thing, guys, is you can't control the thoughts. It's not the thought that comes in your mind that separates you from God. It's the thought that you dwell on and that you hang on to that is not of God. Now, there are good thoughts, but here, I mean, right here, think of the things that are true and honorable and right. Think of the things that are pure and lovely and admirable. If there be anything of good rapport, those are the things that you think of. So whenever a thought comes in, just like we sit down in the kitchen, is it, no, I don't want to use that. No, I don't like that idea. No, let's move it 5 feet this way. No, we need that bigger space right there. And so every thought that was coming in, we were either taking it and using it or we were throwing it away. You got to cast them down. Everything, every pretentious thought that holds itself up against the knowledge of God, the knowledge of God. See, we're talking about our minds and our thinking, and it's your thinking that's going to lead you to action. I'm spending more time on thoughts because if you get your thoughts under control, your actions will follow suit. Because what happens in time started in your mind. Whether it was that person that you work with that you've developed a wrong relationship with, and maybe you haven't committed, some heinous, maybe you're not committed adultery, maybe you haven't had an affair, but in your mind and in your heart, you're entertaining things, you're entertaining conversation, you're entertaining, all that look and that touch, and you're kind of throwing it back at them. Those kind of things. My wife might remember this. I heard this, and some of y'all might know. It was a study, and it talked about thoughts, and you have so much time to do something with a thought. So many seconds. I'm going to say 30 seconds. That might not have been it. But it was a study. Psychologists did it, and you have 30 seconds once a thought comes in to do something with that thought. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If I'm wrong, raise your hand and correct me. Okay, I know what I'm talking about then. What is it? 5 seconds. See, that's even sharper, man. You've got 5 seconds. I knew somebody in here knew that. When a thought comes, you have 5 seconds to deal with it. 5 seconds to deal with it. And if you don't deal with it properly, then you begin to have emotions attached to the thought. Now, an easy way to put this in perspective is, okay, that coworker. If you're a girl, it's the guy at work. If you're a guy, it's the girl at work. And they say something, or they give you that look, or they give you that brush with that elbow, or whatever it is, and you've got 5 seconds to deal with that thing. And if you don't do what the Bible says and take that thing captive to the obedience of Christ and throw that thing in the trash, then guess what happens? Desires start coming in. And the desire is 10 times stronger than the thought. The emotion is 10 times stronger than the thought. Because when it first starts out as a thought, then it turns into an emotion if you entertain it, if you don't cast it out. And you allow it to make a nest in your hair and you get all that junk with it. Because that emotion is 10 times harder to deal with than a thought is. Maybe you haven't had an affair or committed adultery, but you've got that emotional affair that's going on. I just use that because it's easy to explain. Think about things that are true and honorable and right. You're separated from God by your thoughts and your actions. And here's what I just got to tell you, is that if you will get your thoughts in line, your actions are going to be okay. Colossians 3:1-2 says this. Because remember, Colossians 1:21 says that he reconciled everything back to him. That includes us, right? We've been reconciled back to God. Once we were far away, we were his enemies. We've been reconciled back to him. Colossians 3:1-2 says this. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights in realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Verse 2 says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Over and over and over again, the Bible talks about our thoughts. I mean, honestly, I'm just telling you, the pastor will agree with this. Any pastor could take your thoughts and preach an entire year's worth of sermons on them. You just could. There's so much to be said about thoughts that you can't set up here on one Wednesday or even two Wednesdays. But I'm just going to encourage you tonight to do this, to take this word of God and open it up, because it is designed, it's given by the Spirit of God, and it's here to teach us, to show us what's right in our lives, to show us what's wrong. It teaches us, and it prepares us to do, God uses it to prepare us to do every good work, because you never know. Because Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And you never know when you're going to stand beside somebody who needs to hear something that you've got to say. Whether they accept it or not, you still plant a seed. And if you don't know the Word of God, then you're not going to know what to say. Romans 8, verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Verse 6, so let your sinful nature control, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. Separation from God. Letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Verse 7 says, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 8. That's one of those that I would highlight. That's one of those that I would highlight. Listen, let me close with this. It is not wrong to desire things. It's not. It's not wrong to want a nice house, a nice car. It's not. What I'm saying is they just can't take the place of God. You can't work your life, you know, all your life so hard that your family's lost and that you don't ever go to church. You can't work so much in your life to acquire and obtain things that you lose everything else that's important to you and it's important to God. Yep. It's not wrong to want nice clothes to wear. It's not wrong to want those things, to desire those things. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll give you all the things that you need. He'll give you all the things that you need. But if you don't know the scripture, you don't know that.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by Christian Ministries Church, then log on to our website at www.cmchurch.net and click on the podcast link.